Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast. It's myself, Niall or Nine, and Andrea Cleary here. It's our ever popular monthly episode where we put aside whatever's happening in music in terms of stories and deep dives, and we focus on what's been happening in our listening in the last month or so. So it is the month of June that we're talking about. Typically, month of June in a music sense is kind of like people are releasing their last bits before the real summer break. So there's a few things that released this month. Not as busy. It's never as busy in June. But the other thing is that people start thinking about collating the first half of the year as a end of year or best of first half kind of thing.
I saw a couple of lists. Have you looked at any? I saw The Guardian had a list and somewhere else.
Yeah, I had a quick look through. I have to say, I think I feel like this every year. The more time goes on, the less time I have to listen to albums, and it just finds it really difficult.
Yeah,
I have a current listening playlist which has 1500 songs on it.
Jesus.
Which goes back to January, or maybe possibly before. Let me see. Actually, it goes back to September last year. I'm gonna delete some of this stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, basically, if there's an album of interest that I want to hear, I'll throw it into this playlist, and I will listen to it over the course of the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. For this year alone, there is 82 hours of music in there. So a lot of it I have listened to, a lot of it I haven't listened to. So look, that's why I'm going back to a lot of albums. So it's quite difficult to do so. But I'm taking any time you hear a recommendation or anything like that, or people in the Discord, for example, might suggest an album, I will throw it in there and get to it at some point, because often, as you know, the way that things work with 909 on a daily basis, I'm often listening to other things for the site and things like that. So you can't quite just dip into a new album, or you may be watching the Oireachtas report, perhaps.
Oh man, I was glued to it today.
Were you?
First Were you? Mention in the Oireachtas of Bosco's Magic Door, confirmed.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a very interesting, it was the kind of thing that second screens on your desk are made for. Do you know? Do you just sort of, you have it on in the background, you dip in every now and then, you hear something gas.
It was like 4 hours or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say I had it on for about an hour and a half, like in the middle. I caught their smoke break and then I had to run off somewhere to meet someone. But yeah, very interesting stuff happening in the Irish media landscape. For any listeners outside of Ireland, give Orty Ryan Tuberty a Google and you'll catch yourself up fairly quickly. It is a scandal. But yeah,
Yeah.
We've nothing to declare, do we? No secret payments.
no secret payments. No.
There's actually 300 grand of Patreon money that I've been siloing away.
Yeah, there's approximately 19 euro of Acast ad revenue sitting in the Acast account that we can't access.
Oh.
It's so little.
Well.
So, yeah.
Thanks to everyone who listens to the ads. Thank you very much.
Speaking of the
Patreon, Niall, what is it and how do people get access to it?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. It's patreon.com/909. And that is, if you like what 909 does in terms of our little discussion every week here in the podcast, on the 909 podcast.
And so much more.
Or the rest of the week, which I spend writing up new stories and features and sharing new music and all the gig guides and all those kind of bits. As a way of showing your appreciation, you can support us from €5 per month. Patreon.com. You get. Yesterday, I put up a DJ set recording from the Night Day Festival in Roscommon that I played at. There's often playlists and bits like that, Lumo guest list and things like that, and the odd bonus episode here and there as well. So,
and of course, the Discord, which is the jewel in the crown.
Ultimately, if you're not on the Discord yet and you've heard me talk about the Discord, just sign up to Patreon and come in and have a look. Yeah. There's loads of lovely people in there having chats about the Oireachtas community and music and culture and what public broadcasting should be and all sorts of stuff.
Great discussion.
And memes and whatever else you're having yourself, including weird looking air purifier headphones. It's all the rage at the moment.
Yeah, so, right, I know this isn't a news roundup, but I do think that we should address the fact that Electric Picnic this year is brought to you in association with Dyson. But in particular, like the Dyson...
Well, they have an official headphones and hair technology partner. That, yeah, so that's happening. I mean...
There's just so many of them.
Don't we all have an official headphones and hair technology partner?
Come here. If Dyson are listening and they want to sponsor this podcast, and in particular, they want to send me an air wrap, like, I'm more than happy.
Have you seen this thing?
What a brilliant company. What an amazing company.
Looks like, imagine a pair of headphones with like a band across your mouth that looks like you're trying to be Bane.
Yeah.
From Batman. But instead, it's actually an air purifier. And are people going to go to festivals with that on? I mean.
I'm not going to say anything negative about it because I'm really holding out. The only way that I will ever own an air wrap, Niall, and you've no idea, I'm not a big beauty industry person, but from the moment I first saw the air wrap, I've wanted it, right? So Dyson, I'll shill anything.
It's so, I mean, if you've read the Verge article my week with Dyson's absurd wearable air purifier, the author Amelia Kralis just spends the whole time
wearing
it down, going, yeah, no, it's an air purifier. No, it's an air. People stopping her in the street. No, yeah, no, it's an air. Yeah,
no, it's horrendous looking.
No, it looks weird.
It's horrendous looking. It's awful.
It's also €900 plus.
It's like those the Google virtual reality glass things, and it is that thing of just like Google. you'd have
not Google Glass, but the new one or the
Google Glass. Was it Google? No, it was Apple. It was
right.
And they didn't call it like the I. They should have put like I as in EYE. But anyway, technology's mad. I'm really scared of everything. But what's new?
Fair. Absolutely. Well, to bring it back to the real world, and I want to just shout out anyone who said hello and said thanks to us. Most recently at Beyond the Pale or Body and Soul or Night and Day Festival, who had listened to the podcast or bigged up the podcast recently. Really appreciate it. Nice to hear directly. Andrea doesn't get to hear that, so I have to relay it to her, and then she forgets that people listen to the show. So it is true that people listen to the show. But last week, a lot of people were interested in the Beyond the Pale Body and Soul festival reviews, I guess, because most people only went to one, not like myself.
Because everyone's nosy like us. Hopped.
Everyone's nosy, that's it. So let's keep it nosy in terms of what are we listening to and what we've been listening to this month and what we can recommend. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for new music to add to your playlist, add to your rotation, We got you. You're going to start, actually, this month. Okay. So what have you got?
So first up from me is a new song from Slaughter Beach Dog called Strange Weather. Let's listen to it and then I'll tell you about it. Those are the beautiful, calming, dulcet tones of Jake Ewald. I'm not quite sure how you say his surname. Formerly of Modern Baseball, he's been making music under the moniker Slaughter Beach Dog since 2014. Has released 4 studio albums, latest of which came out very late 2020 in the in-betweeny periods between Christmas and New Year's, I believe, or just before Christmas, but it was after Listmas. And I remember
No Man's Land of music. Yeah. Songs.
And I remember it like catching my eye then, because I liked the album artwork and I was just looking on Bandcamp at the time and I was really, really taken by that album. I think that album in particular is very, it's like a good companion to that album that we like, The Neon Skyline by Andy Schauf. Some similarities, stylistically a little bit different, but similarities in the kind of loose concept of it and that it has like characters and stuff. So I'm really excited that he's releasing new music again. This is his first single since 2020, I believe. He's also in the interim had a kind of a viral song on TikTok, interestingly enough, called Acolyte. Not super, super viral, but like it pops up on like nice come with me to the beach, like sort of videos. Right, yeah. And that's a really beautiful song that I recommend people check out. This hasn't been released with an album announcement yet. I think it's released to coincide with with tour dates for his American tour or North American tour. But I imagine an album release is imminent. But yeah, it's a really beautiful song, really sweet. It's fairly representative of his sound overall. If you like what you heard there, definitely check out his other albums. And he's just someone I think more people should be listening to. He's really great. He's really, really nice. And I wrote something about that album on my newsletter and he somehow found it and either emailed me or sent me a Twitter DM or something to like thank me for writing it. And I was just like, well, that is like so sweet. So he's also really nice. So I'm like, ever since then, I've just been like, everyone needs to be listening to Slaughter Beach Dog because he's very great. Good. And he deserves to be like a proper, like, you know, cult indie music figure. So
the second mention for Slaughter Beach Dog this year.
Yes, I mentioned him during the Nilo. Nilo recommended a song that I thought sounded quite similar. And he was like, oh yeah, I know Slaughter Beach Dog. And I was like, indie cred. That's Strange Weather. Right. Really lovely song.
Lovely. Well, my first choice this month is from an artist who's 73 years of age and who I saw live on Sunday night at the Three Arena. His name is Peter Gabriel. I guess I'll tell you a little bit about the gig. I was kind of always interested in it. I've liked Peter Gabriel's music for a long time, but he's been releasing a lot of new music this year. And I just found it really, really good. I thought, I mean, the quality of it has been spectacular. And so interesting. He's such a still remained an interesting artist. I think it was really nice to give an artist like that time in which to spend time with. Now, obviously, full disclosure, I reviewed the gig on the site, and I went literally the only way to go to that gig. It was very expensive. Tickets are very expensive. They were 120 quid plus, but kind of, you know, it's a difficult one, but if you haven't seen, to justify. But having now gone, I was like, it was worth the money. It was a huge production, 9 people on stage, and then a whole big production. All the crew were wearing like orange jumpsuits, and it had this kind of like science fiction-y feel, as if they were all, you know, conducting this experiment. At the start of the show, Peter Graeber comes out like he's going to give a TED talk or like a philosopher's talk about the nature of human evolution. And he's joined slowly by like musicians around this smoldering campfire, and there's a meteorite that falls down. And you're like, what's this?
This is cool.
Really funny. It's kind of a little bit Partridge as well. It was like, oh God. But then they start playing the songs and you're like, wow, this is really nice. And I think it's called the IO Tour because it's named after the album that he's yet to release, actually, which is coming out later this year. But he's released like 6 or 7 songs from it already. So that'll be his 10th studio album. He's an artist that I've been always meaning to dig into more. And it was really nice to be able to do that in terms of have a live gig to frame it around. It was nearly 3 hours of a set, probably overall. Like 8 o'clock on the dot and nearly 11 o'clock before we got out of there. And we're talking like 21, 22 songs. And there was some old songs from albums like Us from 1992. And then a lot of songs from his big one, which 1986 album. So like Salisbury Hill, Red Rain, Big Time and In Your Eyes. Don't Give Up as well, of course. It was in there.
Was Sledgehammer the encore?
Sledgehammer was the encore of the first half of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And so really knew what he was doing. But a lot of the set list was actually a lot of new songs. And that's usually a bad thing. I think there was only one new song that I was like, this isn't great. But there were tracks like Four Kinds of Horses, Playing for Time, Darkness, Road to Joy, which is a song I'm going to pick now and play, and The Court. There's some really great new songs there. I'm just really impressed by what he's done, and he's always displayed this kind of inquisitiveness in creating art and the associated video stuff around him. Obviously, you're thinking about the Sledgehammer video and then the Steam video and all those kind of things. There was a very impressive artwork on display. Each song had a different artist interpreting the song and using some sort of, whether it's like a static visual, but also brought to life with moving imagery. Just really interesting and really well done, and an interval in the middle as well. So,
love an interval.
Really nice, actually. Oh. Yeah, it was lovely. You were like, go for a pee and go get a pint. Great.
Oh, just brilliant. Have a moment. Yeah.
But I just came away from it going, this lad is great. He's like, Mary Robinson was there. I got a shout out in the middle of the gig because it turns out, if you didn't know anything about Peter Gabriel's more humanitarian work, he was co-founder of the Elders, who are an organization of former global leaders that he co-founded with Nelson Mandela, who kind of work on social justice and peace and human rights and sustainable issues. And most recently had visited Palestine and had said there's ever-growing evidence of apartheid. Yes, there is. Certainly a more politician-friendly statement than, you know, a condemnation. But anyway, shouted her out as well and made it.
Where was she sitting?
Like top middle, kind of. He was like, where are you, Mary? Yeah. Where are you?
Did she stand up and give a wave?
She did, yeah. They had the camera on her. Yeah. It was a funny, it was like, it was definitely an older crowd, obviously, like being Peter Gabriel. But I'm going to play the song and then I'll tell you a bit about the rest of the gig because there's a couple of funny things happened. So this song is called Road to Joy, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. It only came out like 8 days ago. So here's a bit of this.
So eyes, swollen skies, look for anchors, look for ties. Sharp sounds swim around, soak into the brittle ground. many days held inside this body. Been so many days, there's nothing to do. Been so many days in the throbbing of the darkness. Been so many days.
So yeah, it's a bit of Road to Joy, which was only released less than 2 weeks ago. Well, actually, there's two versions of that song. It's another thing he's been doing. He's still challenging and doing interesting things. He has two different mixes of each song released so far. The Bright Side mix and the Dark Side mix. And basically, it's two different mixing engineers that he likes doing two different versions of it. And he's like, his statement was like, I don't really care if you don't like it, but it's for people who like me who want to hear the difference between the two.
I love that.
But yeah, really interesting guy still, and still asking questions of the world, talking about Ukraine and Palestine, and you know, very engaged. He is behind a humanitarian charity called The Witness, which is about using the promotes the use of cameras in the protection of human rights around the world. So again, that intersection of technology and music is a big part of who he is, and still doing it on a live arena at the age of 73. A couple of funny things happened, which one funny thing happened in particular, which I didn't include in the review, was that you'd think mostly the audience in their 60s and 70s sitting down, seated, like it was absolutely packed. It was jammers. Mm. And you're like, wow, it's great to see this three arena packed, all seated. But somebody got ejected about five songs before the end. And it was like, it was one of those situations where you're like, I thought there was like a medical emergency because there was a security guard was like shining the light and then people were like running over and people were standing up and you're like, oh shit, somebody's after fainting or something. Mm. No. Two people were having a fight, a verbal fight. They were just like pointing at each other, shouting at each other. And he was singing and was like, well, I'm glad he didn't stop because I don't know what's going on here. But yeah, I was just like, what could they be fighting over? They're sitting that down in the VIP section, which is like the expensive part at the front of the gig. And like, I can only imagine like either one, like maybe they were fighting over a program or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
And there was me last week on Claire Byrne's show on RTE talking about gig etiquette and Gen Z. And it's actually, across the board.
Gotta watch it.
Well, gas.
Marie in the Discord said somebody else, there was a fight where I was sitting there, Peter Gabriel, a woman stormed out there before the gig even started. It's like, what the fuck?
What's happening?
It's not the young people you have to worry about. It's the old people who really have had enough. And really want their program. They're clutching their program that they spent a lot of money on.
I reckon I could be served a summons before a gig that I paid 120 quid for and I'd sit through the gig. Like, nothing would get me up out of my seat. Absolutely not.
I know, so weird. But anyway, somebody being thrown out at a gig like that is just so unusual.
Peter
but
Gabriel.
Great gig. Peter Gabriel, anyway. I'm really glad I went to see him. And there's a couple of those kind of, you know, people you'd like to see before they stopped doing it.
Well, Elton at the weekend.
Yeah. I missed all of Glastonbury, really. I only saw some whatever was on YouTube and a few other bits on Friday, but I really didn't see an awful lot. But what I did see was good, yeah.
Elton was
obviously the Arctic Monkeys. I mean, oh my God, have you realized they don't make rock music anymore? Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So surprising.
They should be the exact same as they were when they first came out. That is,
I haven't listened to them in 15 years. What's going on? Why don't they sound like that anymore?
Shut up. So weird.
Anyway, we'll move on to your second choice.
Yeah. Speaking of people who are back, I'm just so excited and happy. The Hives are back. I've chosen that their album isn't out yet. I will absolutely 100% be talking about the album on the podcast when it comes out. It is probably my most anticipated album of the year now off the back of these two singles. They've released two singles, Bogus Operandi and Countdown to Shutdown. We'll listen to Bogus Operandi first and just prepare yourself for this absolute bop.
We'll be right back.
I didn't realize they've been gone for that long. Like,
I've been gone for ages.
It's been a while.
Ages. And like, I
their
feel
last
like...
album was June 2012.
Mm-hmm. They're back. Mad. I'm so happy that they're back. Like, they, I feel like they've answered the calling. They've heard us all talking about how no men are making interesting guitar music. And they're like, right, we got to get the band back together.
They've got lovely new suits, reflective new suits.
Like the music video for that song, I was watching it and I was just so transported back to like watching music videos on MTV2, like the Future Heads. And like, it just has this sort of like, it's a really cool video. And their video for their other song is really cool as well. And they're back in their suits and Pelle is as gas as ever. Like I watched, they have like an entire gig up on YouTube that they played recently. I'm not sure where actually. And he's just so funny. He's such an engaging front man. Like he's genuinely like laugh out loud funny in his little like pattery bits in between. But like, so they are getting ready to release their sixth album, which is called The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons, which is the name that the Hives music was like attributed to in like the credits of their albums or whatever, who isn't a real person, which was recorded in a studio owned by Benny Andersson from ABBA in Stockholm, which is pretty cool. I don't know if he was there, but
I don't think he needs to be there every day.
No. The first two singles are just so strong, and it like I'm just like really, really excited about the album. They're playing in Dublin in the Olympia next April, on April 8th, 2024. Tickets potentially on sale now?
I think so. I mean,
find,
it was announced last
find
week,
tickets
I think.
On Ticketmaster here.
They're on sale Friday, 30th of June.
Friday.
So, yeah.
Great. Yeah. So I will be getting tickets for sure. And so the other song that they've released, it's called Countdown to Shutdown, also great. And here
shall
it is.
Should we hear a bit of that?
Yes, please.
You!
Oh, no.
I'm glad you picked that now.
It's just good old-fashioned rock music. It's great.
Yeah, we talked about just before the podcast there. Now, neither of us, we have been listening to it, but neither of us picked the new Queens of the Stone Age album, which is called In Time's New Roman.
Yes.
Obviously, saw some footage from Glastonbury as well. So, a bit of a resurgence maybe for them. At the
I think the new album's really good. It was a small little period of time when, like, Queens of Stone Age and the Hives were both back, and it's just really nice, just like these two like really good bands making like good music, releasing good singles. I haven't listened to,
I don't recognize anyone other than Josh Homme in Queens of Stone Age, but it's like,
and Josh looks like,
but it's been
different,
it's
as
kind
well,
of been like that for a while. I heard the Zane Lowe chat with him is really good.
I haven't listened to it yet.
He's talking about how he had cancer recently as well.
I like Josh a lot. I think he's a good guy. I really like the singles from the new album. I haven't listened to the album kind of start to finish, but it's been on in the house.
I mean, it's good. It's good. I just wish it had everything had they're all their albums, which isn't fair, like have the same production as Songs for the Deaf.
I know.
Because I just love that, like, in your face, like, production of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit more garage rock, kind of like a lo-fi kind of buzz. And it took me a while to get used to it, having not listened to them for a while, because it's kind of been like that for a while. But
yeah,
but I have been enjoying it. Yeah, yeah, nearly go see them again in when they're coming here. They're coming here in November, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, I've never seen them, and this is the first time. Like, I got into them after Songs for the Deaf came out. I'm not a massive Queens of Stone Age person. Like, I by no means have even like listened to all of their albums, but like, I'm a big fan of that album. And what I like, the songs I like of theirs, I will listen to quite frequently. I'm like that with a few bands, but like, I think this is the first time where I'm like, oh, I'd actually really quite like to see them. So maybe I'll go along in November. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, late November. I took my dad to see Queens of Stone Age in the Ambassador many years ago. Yeah, that was a great time.
Was that the gig? Harry always talks about that gig where Dave Grohl didn't play drums.
Yeah.
But I think it was like the last show of the European tour, and everyone thought Grohl was going to play, but he didn't.
It was after
disappointment.
I don't know. I think they'd by that point they'd had the new drummer and everything. But like, yeah, there was always that chance that people wanted him. 2002, that was.
Yeah. Whereas now, when you look at Glastonbury, it's like you can't get rid of Grohl. He's on three stages at once. He's everywhere, which is great. Because like, I'm not at all a fan of like Foo Fighters music. But whenever I see Dave Grohl knocking around, I'm like, yeah, great. Like, more of him. He's great. He's lovely. Yeah. But The Hives, really great, like awesome, two awesome singles. I would really, really recommend that live show. I'll send it to you so you can put the link, the YouTube link in the show notes.
I see it here.
Very, very enjoyable. It's like quite
a
small
room.
Yeah,
I found a few of those in the last week. Young Fathers was the other one. From speaking of the Glastonbury footage, watching Young Fathers from Glastonbury, I was like, oh God, I need to see this band again.
No, I have yet to get into them. Everyone is talking to me about Young Fathers, and I just haven't done it yet.
Everyone is talking to me about Young Fathers.
They are like oh yeah, you must love Young Fathers, and I'm like, I know I will. I just haven't done it yet. I just haven't listened.
I think
to
you
them
should just go see them live. That's what you should do. Well, I don't know when they're going to play. They're playing Picnic, which you won't be there probably.
No.
So, I'm hoping.
Unless that sponsorship deal comes through, Dyson.
You. Okay, my next choice is an album as well. It is from King Cruel, and the album is called
Space Heavy,
his fourth album. I'll play a bit of a song here called This Is My Life, That Is Yours. That's a bit Manic Street Preachers, isn't it?
I asked the florist for a light outside a club.
Lots of murkiness going on there with King Cruel as ever. That is Archie Marshall, of course, fourth album from King Cruel. Archie Marshall, since he started releasing music in, well, I don't know, 2011 or something like that. But first album was 2013, I believe. Yeah, but nothing radical here in terms of King Cruel, but it's certainly for me the best King Cruel album in a while. Marshall recently became a father, and about four years ago, and during lockdown and stuff, a lot of things have changed for a lot of people, as you know. A lot of these things, a lot of the songs were dreamt up while traveling on trains between Peckham in London and a place called Seaforth, which is the name of a song on the record. but also the name of a seaside town outside Liverpool, where Marshall had been living part-time for the past 2 years. And there are references to train to the coast 4 hours a week, and lots of dingy little lyrics here and there. And also, there's a lot of the album. I love his kind of post-punky, spiky ones, and there's a couple on that this album, like Pink Shell and Hamburger Phobia. Really cool songs, but then most of the record is kind of like this, but it's got a pensive kind of daydreamy quality to it, like as if you're on a train looking at the window kind of thing. Particularly the middle section of the album kind of meanders melancholically in a really nice way, I think, even though he's less caustic, or like he seems a bit, sometimes Archie Marshall can seem a bit down on humanity, but I think this always has somewhere to go. And I think apparently most of the album was written in C major, so that's
something else.
You don't often hear that. But yeah, a gentler, kinder, probably more pensive, soothing record than his previous, which was 2012's Man Alive, which an album I didn't really vibe with at all, but I think that's all right. And I really like this one. This is Space Heavy. So this was probably my favorite album from June. Not that there were many contenders.
not very much in June.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My next choice, a returning fave, and what a long time it's been. Lovely to see her back. It's Maya Sophia with a new single called Four Winters. And it sounds like this.
Could you be here with me? Do you think you could love me? I have loved too easily. But I go out and when no one's looking, I touch the bark of the birch tree.
Maya Sophia back with the announcement of her second album, I would say long-awaited second album, follow-up to Bath Time, which was released in 2019. So yeah, which I mean, we were very big fans of that album when it came out on the podcast. God, we've been doing this podcast a while. You think about it. So Maya kind of took herself away for a bit. She's released a couple of bits here and there. She's been also publishing a bit of poetry and a bit of prose, and really seems to have like gone away to focus on like her practice. She's very much an artist, and like I think an amazing lyricist. I think the sound of this song is like, it's a really, I don't want to say like a step forward or anything like that, because Bath Time had its own sort of sonic world, but it's a step out of that. I think you can hear a lot of interesting textures there. There's a bit of harp and a bit of, I'm not sure, maybe like organ. I'm not actually sure what that instrument is that kind of runs through it, but really, really fantastic, really beautiful lyrics as well. The new album is called True Love. It's going to be released on Tull, which is the record label / collective run by Constance Keane, who you'll know from Fears and Mail, M-H-A-O-L. And it'll be released on September 1st, which I'm delighted about, because what's better than a Maya Sophia album to ease you into spooky season? So yeah, very, very excited for it. Really happy that
playing
she's
Whelan's
back.
Dublin on my birthday, fair play.
Excellent. Very kind of her to choose that. But yeah, absolutely delighted she's back. I really do think that she's one of Ireland's like most like innovative and I guess like eclectic and just like interesting artists. I think she does really, really great, interesting stuff with her work. So very excited.
Yeah. More. Great. Okay. More of Maya Sophia, please. We will get it soon. My next choice is, funny enough, coincidentally, I shared a song from Glasser last month, which was like from 2013 as my old song. Mm-hmm. And what happened a week later? She released a new song. I was like, what the fuck's going on here? So this song is called Vine. It is from her third album, due out on October 6th on One Little Independent Records. I'm going to play a bit for you because I think it's really helpful to hear this, because I think it's a beautiful, beautiful song. So that is a song called Vine from Glasser. Yeah, as I mentioned, out of nowhere, released a new song. Well, I had a song a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago. But yeah, there is a third album on the way. Cameron Mesereau is Glasser. And I love this. It's kind of like, it reminds me in the best possible way of a Bjork song. It sounds like the kind of music that Bjork makes.
But for sure.
Kind of gone off Bjork a little bit myself. And that just kind of fills that void of interesting, kind of skittery electronic and really orchestral music as well. I really like it.
Niall, there's a podcast we should do. Music that we've just gone off.
I'd say if you do that, you'd probably end up getting back into it then by listening.
Maybe
to it so much,
yeah. Because I feel that way about Florence and the Machine, and I'd like to explore it.
Okay, yeah, she was hugely popular. Obviously, you saw the video. Did you see the videos from last night?
I saw some Instagram stories of friends who were.
You saw the CMAT video.
Yeah,
CMAT. Did you see the CMAT video of her supporting Florence and the Machine and looking like a headliner?
Absolutely unreal.
that does not support slot energy, that one.
No.
At all.
No.
It was like everyone in the crowd was jumping. I was like, is that Florence singing?
No, I know. Okay. Oh, it's insane. It's great.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, and sorry, just for the Florence stands, I hold absolutely nothing against her. I just no longer listen to her music. That's what I mean. nothing against her as a lady. It's okay. I think she's great.
This is a safe space.
Yes.
Okay, so this is Vine by Glasser. So she says, Vine was written a long time ago. It was like an attempt at making something where all the parts sound like they're very separated. I was thinking like jazz, actually. It was about getting back to writing music after feeling disconnected from the machinery around making it your profession. She took a long break. She says, just getting back to making songs was hard for me after the last album. When I made my first album, I didn't have an established routine of trying and failing. It was very immediate. The second record was made after a few years of touring, which is very unstable life. And I still didn't establish a relationship to creating things regularly. After its release, I didn't have a center from which to recompose myself. The thing that finally brought me back to music as a positive experience was that I began taking lessons to learn Balkan singing. And I wanted to try and learn all this vocal gymnastics stuff that I was listening to in the Bulgarian state television choir records. I started writing songs and working towards an album as a result. So there you go. 10 years and 2 days after releasing an album, she's back. So there you go. There's a lot of this at the moment. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I love it.
I think it's really interesting that people are just disappearing for there's a lot of that even today. There was who came out today with a Osamfa, his first song in six years on his own. And then and Rachel Lavelle, which surely would have been in here. Definitely might be in here next month, if not, had a new song out for her first since 2019 as well. So
yeah.
Lots going on.
Lots
going on. People are coming back to things.
We love to see it.
So yeah.
Speaking of which.
That was Glasser and Vine. Yeah. Go for it.
My next choice and my final choice before my golden oldie is from Bright Eyes, who are, I don't think quite doing a Taylor Swift, but who are sort of re-releasing music, albums, EPs, reissues. It's all a bit confusing, but I've chosen a song from The People's Key, A Companion, which is like the companion version of these songs. The band said, we're really excited about the final installment of our companion EPs. It's been an interesting journey revisiting and reimagining all of these old songs. 54 songs total seems ridiculous now looking back, but I'm glad we did it. This new batch includes great contributions from Alinda Segarra from Hooray for the Riff Raff, Joanna and Clara Soderbergh from First Aid Kit, and an amazing cast of other fantastic musicians. He doesn't mention her here, but Phoebe Bridgers, that brought these songs into the present tense. I hope all the fun and neo-nostalgia we experience recording these comes through to the listeners. And I really like the use of the phrase neo-nostalgia. I like that he's aware of what this will evoke in Bright Eyes fans. And yeah, I've chosen to go with the song Jejun Stars, companion version, which is just a really lovely song. That's from the reimagined. There's so many, what are they, verbs about people releasing new songs. It's never just a reissue anymore. But that album was first released in 2011. And that was the third song on that record. It's the first song on the new, on the companion one. And it's really good. Made me kind of go back to that song anew. And it's just really nice to have Conor Oberst in my life once more. Not in my choices, this month. But did you know that Neutral Milk Hotel released a 8-track EP this year?
What?
I know. I completely missed it. I was listening to them. And I just say that because whenever I listen to Neutral Milk Hotel, I listen to Bright Eyes and vice versa. They're just like connected in my mind.
Okay, I see it here.
It's really good. Like it's really strange. It's not an album, but it's 8 songs long. So they absolutely could have gotten away with it being an album, but maybe because
they're all
it was,
old songs though.
Yeah, but like they're
are they
all
in a
like,
band anymore. They're not.
I don't know.
Being a band, right?
I don't know. But like, it was just so interesting that I just hadn't. I didn't know whether it was me not paying attention, but it just seems like something that someone should have emailed me about. But anyway, it's really good. But yeah, that's Bright Eyes with their, you know, 10-minute Taylor's version or whatever it is that they're doing. And that is my last choice and my very cheeky contribution of an album this month.
That's
because
funny. Listen,
I don't actually have an album this month.
Listen, I have a couple more before
please.
I have too many as ever. But very quickly, I'm going to play... We talked briefly last week about the idea of Song of the Summer. I'm just going to briefly play this song because it's my Song of the Summer.
Oh.
And why not? Do you see me like you do? Telling love, it's no surprise. I do my work so hard for you. I've heard that body on the water. It's a plain to see.
So that's Ten Snake and Jesse Lanza on vocals there. So yeah, just one of those songs that I've been playing a lot this summer. And we talked about songs of the summer contenders and there not being as many maybe this year. And so this is my personal one this year.
I mean, I say this and I mean this with love. That song sounds like if you asked an AI to create a song that Niall would like. It's like it has all the elements of...
Yeah, pretty much.
Music that you love, and I love it.
It's got the synths.
It's got a bit of a womp womp
bass line. It's got the airiness. It's got lovely vocal ad libs towards the end. It's got Jesse Lanz on it, who I always really like, and Ten Snake, a German producer who occasionally I like. And then he did that, so I was like, great, brilliant, love it, great, into it. So I thought I'd just share that as well. But the next thing I wanted to share is a reissue of some kind. But actually, it's a news of a reissue. But it was an opportunity to play something really old as well. So do you know the band Butthole Surfers?
I do.
You do?
Yes. Yeah.
So Matador are releasing reissues of this weird band from San Antonio, Texas, called the Butthole Surfers, who formed in 1981.
The worst band name. I hate saying it out loud.
It is a terrible band name. It's one of those ones that actually I've forgotten how bad it is because it's just there. So, yeah, it was an opportunity for me to kind of shout out this, particularly one of these songs. They were a weird band from the 80s in the underground and releasing loads of weird stuff. Their music is so odd. Some of it's really funny, some of it's really stupid, and some of it's great, and some of it like pretends to be cool rock music sometimes and it's really not. They had song albums like...
I always think of them in the same vein as like Kate.
Yeah, but maybe a bit sillier. I think I heard Butthole Surfers for the first time in 1996 on Dave Fanning's radio show, which is the song Pepper. And they had that album was called Electric Larryland. They do a lot of these kind of things. Like they have a cover of American Woman that isn't like, it's a piss take, but it's actually kind of good. You know what I mean? So yeah, they're releasing, Matador are releasing their classic album, Psychic Perilous, the first 10 years kind of
Her Way to Steven, of course. Independent Worm Saloon, a song from 1993, Who's in My Room Last Night. And then a song from this, the unfortunately named album from 1987, Locust Abortion Technician. This is the one I wanted to play for their laugh. This is a song called Human Cannonball. That's a bit of Human Cannonball. Here's a bit of Who Was in My Room Last Night, in case you don't know what this band are like. Yeah, it's a butthole service. It was just an excuse to bring something old in and give it a moment. The weird band, the butthole service. There you go.
Are they your golden oldies?
Technically, yes, but I also have two other songs that kind of fit that mold as well. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm playing fast and loose with the rules here.
Okay, give us one more of them, and then I'll do my golden oldie, and you can do your the other one.
Okay, well, these two kind of come together. Do you know what? I'll just do them, and then you can finish. Because this is kind of, they're both like DJ related, really. I found myself DJing a lot lately, and kind of gravitating towards the sound of acid lately. And I don't know how that's happened, but it is. And one of the songs I've been playing a lot, and thought it'd be worth just including somewhere, is this one. It's by the Freestylers, not the Bomb Funk MC's Freestylers, but the Freestylers from, I think they're UK kind of dance, kind of did a lot of bass stuff. And with Fast Eddie and this Blaps Posse remix, you might know it. It's a very, like, catchy one. Sam. That's music. House music. That's music. It's a song I've been playing a lot recently, and also kind of reminds me of The Prodigy, which is somebody I'm going to see this week. So I'm interested in that. And very quickly, the other track, a song I heard of, Body and Soul, shout out to Olivia Chow from Limerick, and also Sing Along Social, who texted me. I met her down there with Shane, and texted me and said, come and see Joy Anonymous. They're brilliant. And so I did. I went to see Joy Anonymous, and they were really, really good. They're an English duo, kind of. It's kind of like Fred Again, if it was a bit more homely or something. But they have a singer. There's two of them. There's a producer and a singer. And they have this kind of really nice, slightly cheesy cover of God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. That is their big set closer. And you mentioned songs coming out in the No Man's Land of December. This one came out on December 23rd last year, so no wonder I didn't hear it. So I heard it a couple of years ago, and it really stuck with me. So this is Joy, God Only Knows by Joy Anonymous. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. God only knows what I'd be without you. God only knows what I'd be without So yeah, that was one of the songs I heard at the end of one of the nights on Body and Soul, and yeah, there you go. I like it. It's good fun.
Very good. Cool. Okay, this is our last one.
Closes up for June 2023.
Okie dokie. I spent a bit of time earlier this month listening to the Male album, who I mentioned earlier, and found myself then just wanting to return to the kind of Riot Girl movement, and naturally then was like, I'm going to listen to loads of Bikini Kill, because it's not often I listen to them, but when I do, I listen to them for weeks at a time. So my golden oldie for this month is New Radio by Bikini Kill, which originally came out in 1993, and it is fucking awesome, and it sounds like this.
Nice.
We should fade out before the outro of that song. It's one of my favorite closing lyrics of any song ever. I will not read it out because I have it on good authority that some people listen to this podcast around their children. but great song, great lyrics. I think cursing's fine, but this takes the biscuit. But great song, great band, great movement, just all of it, just fantastic. Obviously, I am like entrenched in like a lot of theory around women's music collectives and music scenes and the like in my in the other part of my life. So it's really nice to just return to Riot Girl and just listen to just how great they were. And Bikini Kill are like reformed now. They did some shows in 2020 and 2021. Did they play here, I hear you ask? And I will answer you imminently.
Hold on while I Google it. There's some footage of Bikini Kill playing in Charlie's at the Hope Collective gig in 1996. The entire gig?
No.
1996.
Not as recently as I was thinking, but no upcoming tours on stuff on Ticketmaster either. But they are technically still about. So come to Ireland. But yeah, just great song.
Great, very good. Okay, well that's a nice selection of cool tracks. That's 14 songs you picked in one sitting there, so loads to delve into. Yeah. Obviously, plenty more on the 909 playlists, all on Spotify and on the website, of course, as well. And I guess you don't really share too much on your newsletter in terms of music, but occasionally you do.
I do occasionally. It's there. It's intermittent, but hey, so am I. I don't know.
Anything else to to talk about this month? Have you been watching it or reading anything?
Honestly, no, I haven't. I thought I'd be watching The Bear until I sat down and tuned into my Now TV and realized that the season 2 release date was just for America.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm just devastated. Sucks, and so, I don't know why that they're doing that. So
that is like such bad form.
So
because obviously people are watching it, and like I want to get involved in the conversation, but I also I'd like to just watch it on my TV, you know. I don't want to have to be doing nonsense.
Like you last know? Week trying to watch Glastonbury, not sure how.
One thing about me is that I don't understand VPNs, but I'm going to get a VPN because I want to watch Wimbledon when it's on, and I do not have the BBC. So, it's either get Sky or get a VPN. We'll see which wins out. Yeah, I know. I should get with the 21st century. And no, just
I
get
prefer
one.
You this way. It's better.
Okay.
Just
thank
do,
you. Thank you for letting me live my truth.
just be you. Just
baffled by a lot of the world.
Just get other people to sort it out for you.
What is it? How does it trick things into thinking of somewhere else? I don't understand it, and I therefore don't trust it. Fair. You know. Also, are they legal? They feel illegal, but they're not. They're, so I don't know. I don't know.
The actual thing itself is legal, but what you're
totally
accessing is kind of like it's like putting a hood over somebody's eyes, isn't it? It's like I didn't
it's
actually
a
do
gray
anything.
Gray area there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
It's a gray whatever. Area.
It's fine. So if you wanted to watch the bear, like you totally can. You know that. It's just the way it is. That's the way life is.
I know.
Have you watched any of that The Idol Show at all? The weekend?
Oh, God, no. I cannot describe to you the distance at which I am observing these conversations. Like, I have absolutely zero interest in that. I saw, though, that it was supposed to be 8 episodes and they cut it down to 7
it's
or
five,
so, something
think,
like that.
Yeah.
They're releasing one.
So I have actually watched some of it.
Yeah, 6 down
I
to 5.
Because I had nothing else to watch. And do you know what? It's unfortunate because I think there's some really good like music industry kind of, especially the first episode, a lot of like, it's basically about a pop star who has two managers and then she meets this skeezy weekend character who's like he's mysterious and he's annoying, but it's like Basic Instinct is kind of a reference for it, which is like that's fine, but also it's 2023, so like men controlling women and choking them as a way of like inspiration is kind of you know walking the line of whatever.
I've heard anyway. That the sexual politics of it are a bit dodgy, and like it's Sam Levinson, isn't it, who made Euphoria, who I think deals quite well with stuff like that in Euphoria. Like I love Euphoria, but from what I've seen, I didn't watch the clip, but I saw a transcript of what's being said in an SEX clip between The Weeknd and Lily Rose Depp, and I nearly got sick in my mouth. It was so
gross. And then he came out and said it's supposed to be bad. I'm like, is it? I mean, maybe it is, but also I don't know. It's unfortunate because I think there's some good writing in that in the scenes about the industry stuff, but just when he comes in, he's such a crack fact, you're like, oh man, get out. Like, and then he sings over like his songs are on it, or his like new songs or these like idol songs that he's written are on it, and they're so annoying. And so he's just like overbearing on everything. And he's like, he's not as cool as he likes to think he is, perhaps. What did I read? I read Annie Mack's book on holidays recently.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah. It is called, here we go again.
What was it called?
The Mess We're In.
I've read it as
the
well.
The Mess We're In.
The Mess We're In. Yeah. Yeah. What
really
do you think
easy
of it?
Read. Very much like nice holiday read I found on, I read it on the beach mostly. All about.
Yeah.
Maybe very close to home in terms of like a lot of about music and being living with a band in London and taking too many drugs and doing what people do when they're in their early 20s and they live abroad or they're looking for a home, and or specifically the Irish in London.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. Clearly Annie Mac is, and she's talked about this herself, she's talked about wanting to move home and but feeling the pull of Ireland, and then I think the book is kind of her way of like addressing that a little bit as well. So I thought that was interesting. Also, the book I read.
I really enjoyed it.
Also, the other book I read, Reach for the Stars. Who are we going to be talking to? The author of that book, Michael Cragg, very soon. He's coming here for a talk with Louise Bruton called the Smash Hits Poll Winners Party. Very briefly, we'll be talking to him
next week.
We're talking to him next week. And the book is all about UK pop music from 1996 to 2006. If you like Meet Me in the Bathroom or you like the oral history style, this is that, but told about the world of pop music from Five to S Club 7 to the Sugar Babes to Liberty X to whoever, to so many different bands that came and went, girl and boy bands, Girls Aloud, and Rachel Stevens and all sorts of people like that from that period. Starts with the Spice Girls and goes all the way up to 2006. So yeah, really, 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 really good. We're going to be talking to Michael about that book and that period. It is a really good read. I couldn't put it down, and I've earmarked a lot of things I want to go back to.
I have it downloaded on the Kindle, ready to read over the next week. It's going to be my beside-the-bed read. So
yeah, you'll fly through it.
So, I'm very excited for it.
So yeah, the Smash Hits Poll Winners Party, which Michael Craig is going to be interviewed about, and there's a pop party as well, happens in Wigwam on July 15th, Saturday, July 15th. So you can have a look at that. The end is on Eventbrite. Smash Hits Poll Winners Party. We'll mention it again. We put it in the show notes for next week. That is Louise Bruton's new thing. So absolutely have a look at that. We'll be talking to Michael Craig.
And if anyone hasn't seen Louise Bruton DJing, she's brilliant. She chooses great songs and she plays full songs. And I love that in a DJ. That is full songs. That the commitment to letting you hear the full song is groundbreaking, in my opinion. So yeah, definitely go along to that event. It looks
very good. All right. Well, that's it from us, I think, this week. And we will talk to you next week. This has been the 9 or 9 podcast. And Andrea, thank you very much for sharing your choices. And
thank you, Niall.
Being there for us as ever.
I'm always
here. You're always here.
I live here.
All right.
I was about to say good night. Bye, everyone. It's
good morning,
good
day, and good night. This has been the 909 podcast. Patreon.com/909 if you like what we do. And we will talk to you again soon. Bye. Tell a friend.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.